I've decided to go to the the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. And I'm sure that we'll probably get this up on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you. Funny part of it is, I've done this sermon before. It takes on a kind of a different direction this morning. So you'll find in the sermon today that the Holy Spirit is at work, and sometimes you wonder, you know, you say, God, am I really on the right track here? And I was sitting in my living room the other day, and I was just going to go over the scripture. I'd like to use New King James. I think you'll see today that it's going to be on NIV. But I thought, well, I'm just going to read the scripture. And I put my Bible down, and I just opened it. And there it was, 1 Samuel chapter 30. And, God works in mysterious ways, and he wants to confirm to you when you're listening to him, and as you go in his path and he directs you, he will give you direction. And so I've asked Bill Jackson to come and read the scripture for us this morning.
Thank you, Ike. Pastor Ike, as we were in prayer room this morning, I was listening, and I always like to listen and hear what God has to say. And he gave me two words this morning, and those two words were for the congregation. They weren't for me. The words were yield and harvest. And my understanding of what I was hearing, that I should pray for you, that as I read and as Ike preaches the word this morning, that you would yield much and there would be great harvest for you in the word of God.
Praise God.
Yes. So I'm going to begin, and I'd like to pray for you first. Father, I ask your Holy Spirit to come, for we need you now in all ways, Lord. At your leading, we're going to read your word. We seek your wisdom. And I ask each one in the congregation to have ears to hear what God is whispering to them today. I ask that they would yield much. There would be much for them to yield, and that the harvest would be great, Lord. Fill their hearts with your wisdom, I pray in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
And together we all say,
amen.
Amen. God is good. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel, and Abigail, a widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue the raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, God answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. David and the 600 men with him came to Bezor Ravine, where they stayed behind, for 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine. But David and 400 men continued the pursuit. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, part of a cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. David asked him, to whom do you belong and where do you come from? He said, I am an Egyptian, a slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Kershites, the territory belonging to Judah, the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag. David asked him, "Can you lead me down to this raiding party?" He answered, "Swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, for I will take you down there." He led David down, and there they were, scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David fought them from dark until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him and who were left behind at the Besor ravine. They came out to meet David and the people with him. As David and his men approached, they greeted him. But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers said, "Because they did not go with us, we will not share with them the plunder. We recovered. However, each man may take his wife and children and go." David replied, "No, my brothers, you must not do that which the Lord has given over to us, the forces that came against us. Who will listen to what you say? The share of the man who stayed with the supplies is to be the same as that of him who went to the battle. All will share alike." David made this a statute, an ordinance for Israel from that day to this. When David arrived in Ziklag, he sent some of the plunder to the elders of Judah who were friends, saying, "Here's a present from you, from the plunder of the Lord's enemies." He sent it to those who were with Bethel, Ramoth, Negev, and Jatir, to those in Erorior, to Sithmoth, Eshistoma, Rakal, and those in the towns of Jeremites and Kenites, and those in Hormah, Bor, Ashan, and all other places where David and his men had roamed. Thank you for the opportunity to read this holy word. You're sleeping on. Thank you. So did that get you or not? Isn't that some story? Boy, oh boy. I just love that story. And it is loaded. It just loaded with lessons for us to learn. David, he was troubled in his life greatly. First of all, he was pursued by King Saul. Always, King Saul was after him. He barely escaped several assassination attempts. He had to spend much time hiding in the wilderness. His entire family was kidnapped on this particular occasion. His friends turned against him and were ready to kill him. He suffered the shame of having committed adultery and murder. His son Amnon raped his daughter Tamar. Absalom led a revolt against him. Absalom himself was killed, much to David's grief. David was always trying to protect Absalom. This story takes David out of the country where he was staying. And it was actually in enemy territory because Saul was pursuing him. And so he had to find himself a hideout, and he went to one of the kings of Assyria, and he got this Ziklag assigned to him. But David and his men went out on a regular basis and did raids. And so they had been gone away for several days, and they come back home. And what did they find? The city had been burned. Somebody torched it. All the women and children and servants and livestock, everything that they owned with their family,
and their belongings had all disappeared. The Bible there tells us that they were so tired, they cried and cried and cried, and they couldn't cry anymore. They were so tired of everything that was happening to them. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep up. That's hard to see, isn't it? Can you read that? Oh, okay, you can read it there. What's that? Yeah, you can see it? Okay. So, now I've lost it. I want you to know that I never preach with a script. I've never done it before. But since I got this, Arctic blonde hair, I forget stuff. That doesn't happen to any of you guys, does it? The last wedding I did with my grandson in Phoenix there just a couple of months ago, and I did my first wedding where I actually had written everything down in a booklet, and that worked for me. But I can't preach a sermon from a script, okay? So I'm going to try and follow my leading here, okay? But that means I got to put my glasses on and off, right? So the circumstances there was that there was despair, sorrow, and anguish. And the despair and the sorrow and the anguish was so devastating for them, it kind of just took a hold of them, and it turned to anger. And now what happened is his men turned against David, and they threatened to stone him. Now, that doesn't mean going to a pub and drinking a whole bunch of booze, okay, and get stoned. No, they actually, you know, use real rocks. You get the difference here, you know? And so, he had this hanging over his head, okay? So the next thing that I've done that already. Okay, here's what I want to talk about. David encouraged himself in the Lord. So he's down, and he doesn't know what to do, and everybody's upset with him, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but I've been there once or twice, a dozen times, where all of a sudden you're down. I see a commercial on TV all the time where this guy pulls up with a car, opens his car door, and bang, it hits a pickup truck. You've seen this one? And he goes, oh, whatever he's going to say, you know. And the commercial comes on and says, first thing you should say is fix auto. Fix Auto is a company that wants to be known as the first thing that you think of when you have an accident. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to encourage yourself in the Lord. So some years ago, when I was a cop, I got a call to go to a break and enter. It happened to be a farmhouse. Some of you have heard this story before. I went to the farmhouse and I did my investigation. Would you believe it? Within 2 hours, I had two guys under arrest, and they were in the back seat of my cruiser. And I was going to the third place. And when I got there, it's a farmhouse also. And I go in, it's kind of a shed affair, and then knocked on the kitchen door, and I walked in, and I said to the woman, where's your husband? She said, well, he's right there in the living room. So I walked through the kitchen and into the living room, and the guy's sitting on the couch, and he looks at me, and he jumps up and runs into the bedroom. And I know whether you know this or not, but we have a saying in the police department, we don't get you today, we'll get you tomorrow. And so I figured he's going to jump out of the window, right? No, he came back with a shotgun. And he held that shotgun about that far away from my belly button. Now my brain goes into action. And it says, OMG. In a way that the world does not say it. When I think, oh my God, I mean, oh my God. And instantly, God responded. And the guy said to me, get the word out of my house. I put my hands up. I still had my gun. And I turned around and I start walking out. Now, I'm not going to go into detail what happened there, but I got the gun from him. I still have the gun, as a matter of fact. Yeah, no, it is registered, but it's not capable of doing anything. But I want you to know that when you are in distress and when you have Jesus in your heart, you have another way of solving the problem. And the problem is, the way to solve it is to call upon the name of the Lord. And you don't need to do a lot, you know, like Nehemiah with, you know, with Nebuchadnezzar, no, not Nebuchadnezzar, who's the king? Who? Anyway, he's before the king. And the king says, what do you want me to do? What's your request? And there's a little line there that says, and I prayed to my God. He prayed to his God in front of the king. You think he had a prayer meeting? I don't think so. He said, help me, Jesus, or help me, God. It's a quick prayer. And what you need to do is the first response that you give when there's a situation is, help me, God. That guy that cut you off going into town on the Pat Bay Highway. Oh, that turkey. No, no. No, no, no. Bless him, Lord. God may have saved you from something up the road when he cut you off and made you slow down. Okay? Just think of the possibilities that God can do. All right? Let me see if I can find my place here. Yeah, so the troubles aren't over just because you give to your heart to the Lord, you know, because he says in Psalm 34:19, he says, a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him of them all. So Psalm 145, hallelujah, is right. 145:19, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. Okay? So my next thing is we have some lessons that he wants to teach us. There are several important lessons we can learn from this story. And if we carefully note these lessons, it will help us to overcome battles in life. We are open to prone to the attacks of the enemy. Now David knew that he had been anointed king over Israel before all this happened. So he knew that God was with him. And if you are a child of God, you know that God has a plan for you. And so don't operate in fear, but operate in faith. And so it's a very important, yeah, it's up there. I can't hardly see it, but. So it's very important that we understand that we're not in this walk by ourselves. We are walking in the ways of the Lord. And so that's why Jabez prayed, you know, I pray, God, that you will bless me indeed and expand my territory and that your hand would be with me and that you keep me from evil, that I not cause pain. We're not alone in this. God is in it every step of the way. The second lesson is, it doesn't matter how long you have been down. Doesn't matter what has happened in your past and what the enemy stole from you. He wants to restore you. Okay? So in this situation, the enemy had already left 3 days before. So they've got a three-day head start. And so when David prays, God, you know, should I follow these guys? And God said, yeah, follow him. Now, here's the secret. Once you pray and ask God to help you, and he give you some direction, don't falter. Get off your butt and get on with what he's calling you to do. And sitting on the church pew is nice on Sunday morning, but if he's got a job for you to do, it's out there in the world. So be light and salt wherever you are, you know, because the window of opportunity may not be there 10 minutes from when God told you about this. And it's moving. And the window of opportunity is always moving. So jump in there and see what God has for you. And the beauty of it is that when you do, when you obey, he's there with you. He goes before you, and you're not doing this alone, you see. And you got the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, David takes off with 600 men, and they get to this brook Besor, right? And 200 of these guys are so tired, they can't go on. They've had their beat. And so 200 of them stay behind, all right? Later on, you'll find out that they had a lot of excess baggage, and they left the baggage behind and with these guys to protect. And 400 of them went on. All right? Next lesson. The third lesson perhaps is the most important lesson. Lamentation, murmurings, cries, and tears cannot bring you out of the crisis. And a lot of times that's what we do. Woe is me. Why me, Lord? What have I done? Grumbling. Yeah. But that's not what God says. That's not what David did. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Is that a good word or what? Yeah. And that's what God wants us to do, to follow David's example. The example is, I will bless the Lord at all times. Did I just drop all my paperwork? Yeah. No more jokes. Yikes. Well, let's go to the next lesson. 3. Seek the face of God. Okay? Now, to seek the face of God is what we did here this morning. We're in church together, and some of us are bowing. Some of us have our hands up. Some are praying in the Spirit. Some are singing in the Spirit. We're all seeking the face of God. But when there is an emergency, when something is happening and it needs your attention like right now, you don't have time for this. But what you need is the wherewithal to deal with it. So you don't even have to think about it. Like the guy said, when you have the accident, first thing say, help me, God. You see the difference? There's a difference between what the world says and what God says. He says, don't be conformed to the ways of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Important. Could somebody get me another one of these? You're going to have a dry speaker here. So this is really important stuff, folks. So I guess what you have to do, you have got to do some homework. You can't just get all this stuff on Sunday morning. But you need to do some homework and find out, what is God's plan for me and how can I deal with situations? Okay? So maybe you should go to, because I've been thinking about doing some basics, you know, some really basic Christian doctrine, you know, from Hebrews chapter 6. Yeah? Anybody familiar with that? Faith towards God, repentance from dead works, baptism, the doctrine of baptisms, with the plural, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Those are your six basic doctrines of the scripture. And you'll find them all listed one at a time in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And then about verse 3 or 4, it says, God won't let you go on. He won't let you really go on until you get the basics down pat. And before that, in chapter 5, he says, you know, you've been around this gospel for a long time, and you're still like a baby drinking milk. Shove your chair up to the table, and let's get some meat and potatoes in you. Because strong meat belongs to those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And that's us. We need to discern good and evil. And David discerned these turkeys that took his families are evil. And we're going to do what God has given us. We're going to go into the enemy camp and take back what he stole from us. Amen? We're going to sing that later, okay? Let me clean up here. So much for my notes. Okay, next one. The Egyptian. So he's traveling along, and here all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, there's a guy laying in the desert, in the Negev. So they feed, you should see the diet they give this guy. Figs and raisins and all kinds of stuff, and water, of course. And they revived him. And, of course, the guy's pretty happy, and David said, well, who are you? And he says, well, I'm an Egyptian servant. And I got sick a few days ago, and my master just dropped me in the desert. This was such a present to David. This is the Holy Spirit stuff, folks. And the Holy Spirit doesn't always come, you know, in a spiritual way. He comes in flesh and blood. And he may be somebody that you're working with, and he speaks something, and you think, wow, that sounded like God. Take note of that kind of stuff. You'll get confirmation in what you're doing and the way you're doing it. And God sends that. And here it was sent through an Egyptian. And the guy, they said, well, will you tell us where he is, where these guys are? And he said, well, swear to me that you're not going to turn me back to my master. The guy treated me like dirt, you know. And he swore, and he told them where to find them. So now David's got only 400 people, okay, because they left 200 behind. And they're carrying on, and all of a sudden, they come to the camp where the Amalekites are camped. This is such a good story. They get to the camp, and all their captors are drunk. They are partying. And they're so happy they got all this booty, man. It is master amounts, you know, of booty. Like all kinds of animals, camels and sheep and goats and, you know, plus all their personal belongings because they cleaned out the whole city of Ziklag. And imagine they did that in other raids also. And here comes David with his men. For the next 24 hours, these guys are already so tired, but they annihilated the enemy, except for, was it 400? Who got away on the camels. They got away. So here's David, and now you can imagine, you know, he's got all this booty, humongous, and they're heading back. They're heading back to Ziklag. And they get partway to Ziklag. And a very sorrowful thing happens. Because in the distance, they can see the brook Besor. And all these guys are kind of laying there and waiting for them to arrive. And when David sees them, he actually goes ahead of everybody else and greets them. And some of the guys in his congregation go to him and say, hey, can we talk to you a minute? What's up? Well, you see those guys over there? They've been lounging there for the last 3 or 4 days. And we did all the work. So we had a little meeting, and we decided that let's give them back their wives and their children and say, see you later. Think about David. David said, no, no, no. God would not be happy with this. God gave this victory to us. He's the one that saw to it that we could get all this back. And now you want to keep some of it away? And he said that those who stay behind with the stuff share equally with those on the front line. Now, I wanted to relate this to our congregation. Who did we have speaking here last week? Or 2 weeks ago? The Roaritas. Right. What this scripture is telling us, that what the Roaritas are doing in China, because we are their support people, we share equally in the kingdom of what they have done. When we send people away, for instance, you know, some of us are older and we don't do a lot of stuff anymore. And so many older people, they have a prayer meeting here, intercessory prayer on Thursday mornings. Do you know, as a result of their prayers, things are happening? What this is telling us, that those in that prayer room share equally with those of us who are sharing on the street. You got that? So we are a group of believers who know that this is not a me thing. This is an us thing. And God wants to bless what we are doing in the kingdom work. And he wants us to know that it's not just the pastor or the evangelist or whatever, but we share equally. When I asked Bill to read that scripture for us, there's a lot of stuff there. Did you notice that at the end, why do you suppose that they listed all these places where you went to? Is that up there? Can you? Yeah, okay. So they went to the camp and they got back to Ziklag. And he started dishing out all this stuff. I don't know how many different places they went, but it was many. And he shared with people who helped him in the past. Okay? And so it shows again that we share equally with those who are in the front lines and those who stay behind. If you don't know this God or this Jesus that I'm talking about today, today's your day. Just think about having that kind of a Savior in your life. That you can call on him, and he just doesn't sit on the throne. He's there to listen. Our Heavenly Father has given us a provision that enables the Holy Spirit to speak to our spirit. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning, and that you sent your Son. And you left your spirit. And I pray for anyone, Lord, who might be here today, who has not heard of this, who doesn't understand of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day, every minute. And I pray that those will make a decision today to stand up and be counted in the kingdom of God. That they can go to the enemy camp and take back what he stole from them.